I do thank God for you. I appreciate the opportunity to come back here. We enjoyed this and last time we were here, and I'm glad that we was able to come back and do it again. Amen. So now we're in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. And I want to start reading in verse 7. And the Bible said, upon the first day of the week. Amen. That's when you have church, folk. That first day of the week, that's Sunday, that ain't Saturday. Thank God for Sunday. Amen. I look forward to the first day of the week. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech unto midnight. You know, I wonder what would happen if I continued my speech unto midnight. Yeah, that's right. A lot of people go home. We can't take it anymore. People get nervous and start looking at their watches when you've preached 40 minutes. Amen. I've seen them do it. I've been in services where the preaching got a little lengthy and people got to looking and got up and left. Amen. We have become soft. Can I get an amen? We become, amen, really soft when it comes to preaching of the Word of God. While there's things I could say tonight that would blow some people plumb out of the water, I'm not here to do that. I'll do it at my church. Amen. Because we need to get woke up. Sometimes we need a slap in the face. Amen. And Paul, well, I wonder what kind of preacher Paul was. You think Paul was stood up there, now the Lord is in his holy temple, bless the Lord. I believe Paul, amen, was a preacher. I believe he yelled. I believe he raised his fist. I believe he ran around and preached. Probably saw somebody goofing around and say, hey, straight up right there, listen to me. Amen. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. And when he therefore was come up again, and had broken bread, and had eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day. You see, I know Paul was a Baptist preacher, because he got interrupted, and he had to start all over again. Amen. That's why I don't like interruptions. That's why I don't like disturbances. That's why I don't like people getting up and leaving on me when I'm preaching. Distracts me. Amen. And makes me have to start all over. That's why I ask people, just sit still for 30, 40 minutes and we'll be done. I want us to look back over there where it said that there sat in a window, a certain young man named Eutychus. You know, many people today are without the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, many people that you know don't know the Lord. We have folks that are hooked on drugs, hooked on, amen, alcohol. You see them all the time. If you watch the news, you see them. If you read the news, you hear about them. Some idiot, amen, doing something crazy. Like this 8-year-old boy shooting his dad and his friend. And that's going to come out sooner or later, but something happened there that caused that boy to do that. Maybe he'd been molested, or maybe found out his dad was a queer something, amen, that caused this boy to do it. But what was funny to me on the news was they blamed it on the rifle. They blamed it on the gun. It ain't the gun, folks. Amen. It's the person who's holding the gun. Say amen right there. But man, we've seen all these people, and now with the internet, you know what we have? We have a whole group of people that are hooked on porno. Amen. I tell you, I have internet access, but I've never, amen, pushed a button that would cause me to look at anything that would be indecent. And let me say to your parents, if you have internet access in your house and you have kids at the age that know how to get on the internet, then you better be standing over their shoulders. You better be watching what they're looking at. Less out of curiosity. You know, this year at youth camp, first time in all my years of having youth camp, and that's probably been 30-some years I've preached youth camps. And for the first time, I had a girl come to me in private, torn up and weeping, telling me that she'd been looking at male pornography. And I had a boy that was a 14-year-old boy who told me that pornography hopped up on his computer by mistake one time, but he knew where that site was and hopped back on his own another time. And I'm talking about kids that have decent parents. But you know what? There's no control set. Now listen, do not, listen. Can I say this about our young people in here? There is no such thing as spiritual young people. They're carnal. They're fleshy. You leave them alone by themselves. That's why we don't date. You can't put a girl and a boy by themselves and expect them to behave. Can I get an amen? Some of you give me weird looks. Well, let me say it this way. I'm right and you're wrong. Amen. I mean, we have people on internet looking at porno. It has taken over the American family today, to where now they're trying to destroy our American family. They're trying to destroy the husband and the wife. And if Rosie O'Donnell and, amen, degenerate, amen, and all them idiots have their way, everybody in America would be gay. Well, I don't want to say gay. They'd be a sodomite. Because I looked up the word gay in the dictionary, and I'm gay. According to the dictionary, I am. Amen. But I ain't funny. It said every man has a woman, a feminine side. That's a bunch of baloney. Ain't nothing feminine about me. You ask my wife later. Ain't nothing sissy about me. Amen. I don't wear pink. I don't have lace on my underwear.
No puffs.
I ain't gonna say that here this year. I said that last time. Don't bring that up. Don't have no secrets in the closet. I'm a man. Help me, Lord. Bite your tongue. Well, I'm telling you, we are messed up. We got people today that are without hope. They're without peace. They're without the blessings of God. But then, thank God, there's people that are like us, that are saved. Man, we have the peace of God in our hearts, the joy of the Lord. The Bible says He daily loadeth us up with benefits. Hey, I'm telling you, God's been better to me than I deserve, and He's been better to you than you deserve. But there was a window this Eutychus sat in. And I want to preach tonight on a great window of opportunity. A great window of opportunity. I want to say, number one, Eutychus had a great window of opportunity. He had a great window because he was able to hear preaching. What a great window of opportunity, folks, that is for us to be able to come. You know what I can't understand? I can't understand how we got this great window of opportunity and people won't come. I'm not talking about the lost world. I'm talking about church members. You have a revival and you have church people that won't come to church. People that are members, people that are even tithers, won't come to the house of God in revival. God's given us this opportunity and we take it for granted. Amen. I mean, hey, not only did he have an opportunity to hear preaching, but this old boy had an opportunity to hear one of the greatest preachers ever. Wouldn't you like to sit down and heard the Apostle Paul preach? Really? I mean, if Paul was here tonight, would we really be concerned about what time he got done? I mean, what? Oh, my goodness. What a preacher. And you know, hey, we've got this great window of opportunity here preaching. And we have heard some great preachers in our time. Amen, church. I got to hear, and I'm going to tell you some names. Some of you may have never heard some of these guys. But this is, to me, is the Hall of Fame preachers in our time. I got Brother Carl Lackey on here. Brother Carl Lackey was known as the meanest preacher in the South. I remember Brother Jones saying, we're going to go down to White Plains, North Carolina, and hear Dr. Carl Lackey, the meanest preacher in the South. And man, I couldn't wait to get there. I mean, I hadn't been saved long, and here we are on the front row. And I'm telling you, that old man, he'd just pour it on. Listen, you get some of it. You go online and you listen to some Carl Lackey's messages. And I'm telling you, if you preach that, you're going to get run out of your church. They were rough. He told them women, he said, bless God. That's about the way he talked it. Bless God. The Bible said, let your light shine. That ain't your tail light, lady. Pretty rough stuff. I heard him preach at Brother Eastep's on It Ain't Gonna Rain No More, No More. What a great message. I heard Brother Jack Wood, and a lot of you, I know Brother Sperone has heard Brother Wood several times, and man, he'd preached the great message on Custard's Last Stand. Talk about General Custard. What a great message. Some of these you can still get online. I heard Harold Seitler preach on Why I Sing, Praise, and Shout. I heard Ron Garrison, man, he was a great man, and I heard him preach, even the corners belong to God. I heard J. Harold Smith in person preach God's three deadlines. Boy, what a classic message that is. Anytime he ever preached God's three deadlines, hundreds of people were saved as a result of that message. I got to hear Lester Roloff preach live and in person. I was at Deer Park Baptist Church in Ohio, and they had him come in to speak. And Tommy Trammell, who was the pastor, stood up and said, now, folks, don't forget Sunday morning to tune in. Amen, our live television broadcast. Don't forget to do that. And he said, all right, Brother Roloff, come up and preach. Oh, Roloff, come up here. He said, bless God. He said, the TV is the damnation of America. I wanted to crawl under the pew for Tommy Trammell. Bless God, don't you turn on no damnable TV. He said it was the damnation of America. Now, let me ask you something. How far off was that old man? I got to hear Lanny Hasbrook preach. I never heard Percy Ray in person, but, man, I got one on my... If you can ever get your hands on Red Lights on the Way to Hell... In the last, just listen to the last 3 minutes. It's about an hour tape. But the last 3 minutes, this old man's got a red light and he's screaming, amen, stop, sinner, stop. Stop, sinner, stop. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. And you hear people screaming, ah, ah. Man, I felt that just doing it. The last 3 minutes is people screaming. And it was reported that there were 70-some people saved that night. And he said, hell's beneath! Hell's beneath! And people felt like they was falling into hell. Man, what power. And I tell you, folks, we have heard some great preaching. And I mean, you've heard great preaching. Amen. I mean, preachers had great preachers in here. Not me, but others, guys. Amen. That are great preachers. And what a window of opportunity we have. And some people stay home. Amen. Some of you could take off work and come to revivals. And you know, I'll tell you a great vacation. A great vacation is to take a week off for a revival or take a week off to go to a camp meeting somewhere. Go to charity. They have a great camp meeting. Brother Vince Massa, not far from here in Stanford, has a great camp meeting. Brother Benson has a good camp meeting over there in Plainville, Connecticut. I mean, there's a lot of places you could go and have a great vacation and do what? Hear preaching. Well, I want to see the ocean. I mean, you know what? It ain't changed. From the last time you saw it, it ain't changed. Those same waves are still coming in. Well, I want to go to Digby and see the great, amen, tides up there. I've seen them. I saw them once. It's great to see. But once you see it once, why do you want to go back and see it again? That is why I don't buy DVD movies. If I saw it once, why would I want to see it again? I know exactly what's going to happen, so why watch it again? Some people have libraries of videos and DVDs, everything Disney has made. Don't you get sick of Little Mermaid? Over and over. I mean, you know, I've seen grandkids be able to recite the whole movie. Strawberry Shortcake, great day. What a great opportunity we have to hear the Word of God. I mean, to hear preaching that is Spirit-controlled preachers, to hear separated preachers, to hear Bible King James preachers, amen, to hear powerful preaching. And what a great opportunity we have, and yet spiritually we sleep. I mean, you have a great pastor here. I appreciate them good amens. I know he was glad to hear that. But I wonder how many of you sat here Sunday after Sunday, and you're looking at him, but inside you're going, and every now and then, oh, amen. And somebody beside you goes, wake up, stupid. You men are dozing off. No one sleeps while I preach. That's a rule I made a long time ago. You preach, you sleep. When I preach, I sit in your lap. I was at Brother Mosher's years ago. And there was a girl that, I mean, she scooted right down in her seat, put her head on back the pew. And I said, young lady, you better set up now, because I will get in your lap if you fall asleep. Well, that did it. She set up. I meant business about that. I remember one time this boy was falling asleep. He was on the third row, about where that little boy is. And I saw him dozing off, and his friend was sitting right beside him. Saw my eyes. I was headed out of the pew, out of the pulpit. I was headed for him. And he went, and that boy went, huh? And I said, you better thank your friend, buddy. I was about to get you. Amen. And I'll get you if you fall asleep. Oh, not a little one like that. She's safe. Amen. But I'm talking about you that can hear. Amen. Spiritually, you better stay awake. And Eutychus, sitting in that window on that third loft where it was good and hot. Amen. Had the window open. Amen. The little breeze that was blowing hit him. Amen. You know what was so dangerous about him being in that window? Let me find a window I can get in here. I like these windows. They're good and big. You know what was dangerous about old Eutychus being in that window? You see, hey, he could see Paul preaching, but he could also see the world. And he might have had some friends out there waiting on him. And I could hear Eutychus going, "Hey, boys, hang on a little bit. Save me a beer. Now I'll be out. You know, I was drug in here. I'm in the third loft. Hallelujah. I can barely see him. But just hang on. I'm a-coming." Man, I wish that guy'd shut up. Good night. Look how long he's preaching. Oh, man, that breeze feels good. Oh, yeah, man. He found out that he could go fast asleep even with Paul preaching. And even if he had stayed awake, you can go asleep with your eyes wide open. You ever gone to sleep driving with your eyes open? Oh, man. I come back from a wedding in Michigan. It's about 2 o'clock in the morning. Everybody in the van is asleep, including me. And I was kind of enjoying my sleep. And my eyes were wide open, but I didn't know where I was. And I ended up off the main road and got in Toledo, Ohio. And I'm in Toledo, and I finally wake up. The streetlights have woke me up. And I thought, where in the world am I? And I saw this drunk coming out of the bar, and he's staggering down the street. I wrote, "Hey, sir, can you help me?" "Right here, on." I said, "Where am I?" He said, "What's wrong with you, man? You're drunk. You're in Toledo." And I said, "I need to get back to I-75 South. How do I get there?" He said, "Bud, you can't get there from here." Man, I didn't have GPS back then. I had to just weed my way. And find, I'm telling you, that was a scary thing to do that. But how much scarier is it when you sit in the house of God and the man of God has said, amen, he's planned and he's prayed and he's got the message that God wants him, and you sit there like this. I'm right, you're wrong. Let me say number two. Not only was it a great window of opportunity because he could hear preaching, it was a great window of opportunity because he was in the place of worship. Oh, yeah. The Bible said it was a place where they met together. Well, when you meet together, then you've come into the church. Amen. He wasn't in a bingo hall. He wasn't in a club. He wasn't in a dance hall or a coffee shop. He wasn't in a praise and worship center or a life family life center. He was in the house of God. Amen. Amen. He was in church. The Bible says in Ephesians, you don't need to go there, 5:25, that Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Amen. The church is a place of unity. At least it's supposed to be a place of unity. I hope that this church is a place of unity. The first message I preached in my church was, amen, in one accord. That we need to be in one accord, together, on the same page with the pastor. Everybody locked arms and moving together as one unit. Amen. There ain't nothing you can do when everybody's locked arms. Amen. There's nothing the devil can do when everybody's locked arms and we're on the same page and we're all glorifying God. That's what it was like in the first church. Amen. In Acts chapter whatever 2, I think it is, they were in one accord praying when? Daily. And back then when someone had a need, they didn't sign up for welfare. Somebody in the church saw somebody had need. They just went and sold some of their land and distributed to the church. And then the church gave it to everybody. So everybody was on the same plane. There was no big dog, no little dog, no big chief, no little chief. Everybody's on the same plane. I like it that way. Amen. When there's unity, there's no fighting. Hope there ain't no fighting going on in this church. Some woman can't stand to look at another woman. You have shaking hands. I've seen churches where they have shaking hands where people would walk out till the shaking hands was over because they didn't want to shake somebody's hand they didn't like. Amen. It's a place of no fussing. It's a place of no backbiting. It's a place of no bickering. And what a great opportunity we have to come to Solid Rock Baptist Church, amen, and amen, and praise the Lord and give God the glory. I mean, this is His church. Man, you can go out west and you don't find churches, amen. They're 500 miles apart. You go into Canada, you're lucky to find any church anywhere. You go down to Mexico and they're very few. They're all Catholic. You go overseas and it even gets worse. Amen. And here we are in America. We're even up here. There's churches in the area. I mean, how far are you, Brother Sproni? How long did it take you to get here? 20 minutes. That ain't bad. Brother Moser's probably 20 minutes. That ain't bad. Brother Benson's an hour and a half. That ain't bad. Man, there's people who drive hours. Man, I went to an Indian reservation in New Mexico. And Brother Wilson Calvin was taking me to his church. I was preaching there Sunday morning. We went down this long road, made a turn. And then we went 7 miles down a dirt road with nothing but maybe a cow every now and then. Not one house in 7 miles. We finally made a turn, and there was three little buildings, church building and a fellowship hall and a little something else. And I thought, come on, man. Who comes to church way out here? And at 10 o'clock, 87 people filled that little church house. And some of them drove 2 hours to get there. It was the closest church in the area to them that was Bible believing, and it was worth driving 2 hours to get there. And they didn't go home at lunch. They stayed there and ate lunch. They were there for Sunday night, and then they drove back that night. And the next week I held a meeting that was an hour and a half from where Wilson Calvin was. And those same people that drove 2 hours to his church were at that revival every single night. Indians who knew there was a good thing going on and wanted to hear some preaching and sacrificed their time, took off work early so they might be able to get in their car and drive 3 hours and get to church. And we can't get people to drive an hour, 2 hours, amen, to a camp meeting or something. Hello? Most of you live close by here, and you don't have to drive 30 minutes to get here. And guess what? You have a revival? Well, you know, gas is just too high. Oh, it's too high unless you have to go to Walmart. Then it ain't no problem. Can I get a witness? I want you to go to Psalm 73. What an opportunity we have to be in the house of God. I want you to turn to Psalm 73. I want you to look at this. Boy, if this fits us, guys. You there? Psalm 73. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. Can we say that God is good to us? But look at verse 2. But even though God was good to him, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Hey, let me ask you, with God being good to you and blessing you, have there been times in your life where your feet, amen, your steps had well nigh slipped? Well, there's a reason. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. You know what this guy, you know what happened to this guy? He started looking around. He got his eyes off the Lord. He got his eyes off the church. And he started looking, amen, at the prosperity of wicked people and wondering how come they're rich and I'm struggling. Have you ever said that? Have you ever thought if I could just have 1 million? I don't want what Brady makes, 9 million a year. I just want 1 million. I don't want what Tiger Woods makes, 80 million a year. I just want 1 million. Keep reading. For there's no bands in their death. Seems that way, don't it? That's what happens when you start looking at the world. But their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men. Neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. Well, they have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly. Concerning oppression, they speak loftily. Look at this. They set their mouth against the heaven. I mean, they cuss God. Amen. They cuss everything around them. Everywhere, every other word is a cuss word. You know anybody like that? And what? They're faring well. They have all they could want. In verse 11, they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Man, they even threaten God. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Look down in verse 15. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I shall offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful to me until I went to the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Well, I start looking, amen, at all the wealthy people, the Donald Trumps, and amen, all the movie stars, and amen, all the athletes, and all the money, amen, that is being wasted on people. And I thought, man, they have got it made until I go to the house of God. And then I realize I'm the one that's got it made. Most of them are going to burn in hell. I tell you what, folks, it's in the church house we learn the deceitfulness of the world. It's in the church house we learn the, amen, the worldliness, amen, of the world and the deceitfulness of the devil. It's in the church house you learn the separation of the believer. And let me just hop on that train for a second. And let me say separation is still in the Bible. I don't care where you live. I don't care what year it is. Separation's still in there. And we are to be separated from this world. Unto God. Unto holiness. I believe women ought to look like women. Dress like women. I believe men ought to look like men. Dress like men. Amen. Why, you all would throw a fit if I came in here in a dress. If I came in here, amen, to preach in a dress, and I had pantyhose on, and I had a pink shirt with it, and lipstick on, and my ears pierced, and a wig on, you wouldn't let me up here to preach. You probably wouldn't even let me in the house. Well, I'm telling you, we're living in an age where a woman come in dressed like a man and everything's all right. Can I get an amen? I believe women ought to look like women. Why, even the world recognizes the difference. You say they don't either. Oh, yes, they do. Go to Walmart's bathroom. If you cannot read, there is a sign that shows you which one to go into. And the sign of a woman is with a dress, and the sign of a man is with pants. Can I get an amen? Amen. And the world recognizes it, but you know the church? They don't. You know, I remember a time you went to a funeral, every lady dressed appropriate for a funeral. You went to a wedding. Every woman dressed accordingly for a wedding. A man today. And you know the thing that irks me the most is most of the people that are doing that are old people who know the old time way, who never wore that stuff growing up. I love you. But I'm telling you, listen, friend, we ought, listen, this thing of separation, we are living in days where I want people to know I'm a Christian. I want JWs to come to my door and when I answer the door, no, there's something different about that guy. My daughter had a little wreck and I had to go up to Dayton to get my van. It was in my name and Connie had 3A and we called a wrecker and that wrecker guy came and I had to ride in that wrecker back home, me and her did. And And we got in that wrecker. I had a pair of khaki pants on, a pullover shirt. She had a skirt on and a top. And we got in that wrecker with that fella. And he hadn't pulled out of the driveway. And he looked at me and said, "I bet you're a preacher." I said, "What made you think that?" He said, "You just look like one." And I said, "You're right. And now I've got to preach to you." And we did. We gave him the gospel going down the road and found out a little bit about his background and what he believed. And he was an old Pentecostal boy that was now lost again for the 100th time. Amen. I was telling the preacher today, we were on vacation with a friend of mine who takes us on vacation, and his wife and daughters dress worldly. I'll just say it that way. I'll say it this way. They wear breeches. I'll just say it that way. And we went by a boat that was docking, and there was two girls and a dad in that boat, and the dad had blue jeans on and a top, and the two girls had culottes on. And I looked at him and said, "I bet they're Christians." He said, "What makes you think that?" I said, "By the way the girls are dressed." He said, "We don't know that." I said, "Well, we'll find out." I turned the car around. We came back, parked the car, and wait for them to come up. They come up. I said, "I got a question to ask you, sir. Are you a Christian?" He said, "Yes, sir, I belong to an independent Baptist church not far from here." I said, "Well, I just wonder about the way your girls were dressed." He said, "Well, we believe in dressing right." I was in Sharon Williams one time, and I saw a girl with a dress, real nice dress on, and her dad was there. And I looked at the dad, and I said, "You guys got to be Christian. Women don't walk around like this." He said, "Well, we are. And we go to such and such a church." You see, it does make a difference how you look. Oh, but preacher, we're in New England. We're in New England, buddy. I mean, it's different up here than it is down there than Southern Ohio where you're from. It ain't different, no different here than it is in Florida, than it is in California, or anywhere else. What it comes down to is you believe what that book says, and you practice what that book says. "Well, you know, I believe that book's out of date." Then get rid of it. Don't come telling me you're a Bible believer. Don't be holding up, waving, "I'm King James," and you don't practice what that book says. You say, "Well, what you're pulling out is Old Testament." Oh, the Old Testament's not for you. So you don't believe the Old Testament? You don't believe Deuteronomy 22? Where it talks about incest? Where it talks about rape? Where it talks what you're supposed to do to someone that rapes someone or someone that commits incest? You don't believe that either? And just in the middle of all that, it tells that a woman ought to dress like a woman? Well, that's Old Testament. Cut it out. Since you ain't a Bible believer. Well, I'm having fun tonight.
Some of you ain't Bible believers. You're Bible preferers. You just prefer the King.
Yes.
You say you believe that? Oh, yeah. My wife one time, she's still wearing pants. Evangelist that preached heavy and hard against it, and he was standing in our church, and we didn't know he was visiting there, and we went by, and she said, "Looky there, that preacher's there." I said, "Yeah, we'd go see him if you were dressed right." And you see, what you wear does keep you from doing some things you want to do. Am I all right here tonight?
Yeah.
Am I in the lion's den? I'll tell you what, friend, we have a great window of opportunity set before us, and we should not blow it. And when I went to the house of God, I learned these things.
Amen.
And I ain't changed.
Amen.
Let me say number three. I'll get out of this hole somewhere. Hey, Eutychus had a great window of opportunity because he's able to hear preaching, because he was in a place of worship. Number three, because he was around people who cared. Let me say, someone cared enough for you to bring you. Someone cared enough to bring you to the church. Even though he went up there to that third loft, somebody brought him. Somebody was concerned, amen, about his condition. Somebody's concerned about your condition. Somebody was concerned about your welfare, concerned about your backsliding, concerned about your spiritual condition. Let me say this to you tonight. The world does not care about you. cares about your welfare? Christians do. Amen. You see somebody have a need, you don't have to take a vote on it. Just help them. Somebody needs $20, give them $20. Somebody needs a box full of groceries, give them a box full of groceries. Amen. This world, all it'll do is, I'm telling you young people in here, I know one day you're going to get in the world, you got to work, and you're going to rub shoulders with wicked people, but all that world wants to do is eat you up and spit you out. They will take you for everything you have, and when you are broken, they won't be there to help you. You'll come crawling back to the house of God, and it'll be the house of God that'll help you get back on your feet. Here you find people that really care and are willing to sacrifice their time to make it right for you. Let me give you a last thing. Not only was he a great opportunity because of hearing preaching and a place of worship and people cared, there's a great window of opportunity because he experienced the power of God. Here we go, old Eutychus back over here in the window. You see, his presence was commendable. We thank God he was in church. We thank God you are in church. Your presence is commendable. His position was critical. Even in the house of God, he's seated in the wrong place.
And then
he became comfortable with that little breeze blowing. Paul way down there yelling and screaming. He got up there and it was long preaching. And he got the... He got the storm. He got in a deep sleep. You know what? I thought one day, there's only one way Eutychus could fall out of the window. He had to be more out. Spiritually out of God's window. And every time someone's ever fallen out of church, ever fallen spiritually, it's because it was already leaning that way. You get to lean in that way, you're going to fall that way. If he'd been leaning in, he'd fell into the church. He didn't fall in. He fell out. And he fell three stories. Now with the distance of gravity, he had one gravity falls 32 feet per second. A story is about 10 feet. This is a little higher. But he had about 1 second. He fell, 1,001, splat. You ever fallen out of a bed? Ever fallen out of a bunk bed, top bunk? Anybody know Earl Hughes in here? Oh, Brother Earl, I was with him in a camp meeting out in Missouri. And I heard a rat, and he fell out of that top bunk. That scrawny old man hit that wood floor. Whack! Oh. And he gets up. I said, Earl, are you all right? Shoulder. When you fell out of that bed, how much praying did you do before you hit the bottom? Man, I have a little shed at home. I can reach the top of my shed. That's how high it is. So it's not that high. And I'm shingling in that baby. And my feet start slipping. And I start going. And I'm going to tell you something. I wasn't praying. Help! I forgot I was on an 8-foot tall building. And I'm sliding off. My feet go off. My belly goes off. My hands hit the top, the first shingle, and my feet touch bottom. But you know what I love thinking about doing? Praying. Connie had a cousin that decided to take his life. He jumped off the highest bridge in Ohio, which is right outside of that bridge is 300 feet high. For 10 seconds when he jumped, I wonder if he ever changed his mind. this opportunity to hear Paul. And I know, Lord, I've fallen asleep. You know, he had 1,001. He probably didn't even listen. Anytime I've ever fallen off anything, you know what I'm doing? I'm trying to grab on and fight and hold on. Amen. If it's a bed sheet, I'm hanging on, man, as I go. And I'm trying to, amen. I'm sure he was trying to catch something and bam. The Bible said he was taken up dead. I believe he was dead. And Paul fell on him and brought him back. And old Eutychus saw the power of God. Let me ask you something, brother. After they ate and talked a long while, and Paul got back up there to preach, where do you think Eutychus sat? You think he went to the third loft? No. You think he went toward a window? I bet he was on the inside seat.
Front row. Yeah! Paul preached it! Woo! You know, it's a shame that he had to fall for that to happen in his life. And it's a shame that for some of you, God might have to do something to you before you get out of that window spiritually. He might have to take one of your children. He might have to take a wife or a husband. He might have to bring some disease on you. I don't know what God might have to do, but I do know this. God can get your attention. And boy, we have a great opportunity to, amen, to see the power of God. I've seen people healed without Benny Hinn. I have. I've seen the Holy Ghost heal people. I've seen, amen, the people's needs provided. I've seen, amen, those saved that people gave up on. I saw a Mormon saved in my 18 years. Still serving God, loving God, trying to win the rest of his family to Christ. I'm like you, I saw an 89-year-old man hobble up to the front with a cane, and I thought he just wanted to pray, and he mows me over and said, can I help you? He said, I need to get saved. We led him to the Lord, amen. I've seen wicked, 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 wicked people get saved. I've seen people that people had given up on, thought there was no hope, they'd never get in. I've seen them get in. I have seen the power of God. Brother Piet, when we went into evangelism, I was praying about that thing. I never asked God for money. I never asked God for health. I asked God that my kids would see the power of God. And I can report to you, listen, they might not be living the way I would want them to live, but they cannot forget what they saw in the years that they traveled with that woman. We saw God do it time and time again. Hey! See if you're awake. Get out of the window. You have a great opportunity to serve God. Get out of that stinking window and get yourself in the center of God's will. Quit being up and down. You know, I've been to revivals that people have come to because Drummond's in town. They like the show. I said, man, when Drummond preaches, it's like a three-ring circus. You never know what he's going to do. You don't know who he's going to smack. Let's go and watch Drummond perform. And some people come just because I'm in town. I hope that's not true of anybody here. I hope you've been coming and you've been faithful and you've been serving. And then when Drummond comes, amen, you're right. But just in case that's you tonight, shame on you. Get yourself. It ain't Drummond. It's God. Amen. And the power of God. Amen. And I'm no different than any other man. Well, y'all sing, and we really like your singing, so we want to come and hear you sing. We ain't great singers. While there's thousands of people sing better than we do. Tell you what, you need to make up your mind tonight. Yes. You're getting out of that stinking window.
Amen.
And you're going to serve God for God. Amen. Not for him, not for him, not for him, not for Steve. Not, I'm going to serve God for God.
Amen.
And I'm done playing church. I'm done playing this game of being in and out. Well, I wonder what he's going to be this week, up or down. I tell you, in my church, I've only been there 5 weeks, Brother Sproni, but I know where everybody sits. And when I get up to preach, I'm counting heads in my mind. Where are they? Where is that one? And you do it, and you do it. Because it's just, we want people to come. Because you can't get help when you're home. Make up your mind. You're done in the wind. You're done playing around. From here on out, you're going to be serious with God. He's going to come before the Super Bowl. He's going to come before the baseball. He's going to come before your friends. He's going to come before your job. He's going to come first place in everything in your life. Decide that tonight. Father, thank you, Lord, for the help to preach. Bless the invitation. What a great window of opportunity, Lord, you've given us. Help us not to spoil it. Help us not to miss it. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You say, preacher, I've been hanging in that window. I'll be honest. I've been hanging in that window. I need to make up my mind tonight. I'm done playing around. I'm done fooling with this world and the things of this world. I've determined tonight in my heart that I'm going to serve God once and for all. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to love him. I'm going to read his book. And I'm getting out of that window tonight. I'm going to do it. Who's like that?